James,
draws any goodness.
There's something that I, it's too funny not to bring up.
Okay.
And I know we don't like to get super duper political, mainly because, I mean, we have our own beliefs. We're not shy about it, but this isn't really the place.
Not the platform.
But we do have to acknowledge that something very, very funny is happening. And it's something that only one former president, Donald J. Trump, it's only a predicament he could get himself into.
Oh, God. Do tell.
No, it concerns all of us with this upcoming event later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have a former president who's facing how many charges? I forget.
38?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
A good amount of them are federal crimes, some of which are punishable by jail. Like, it is a possibility. It's on the table. We all know probably not. But, again, it's on the table. So, his solution to this problem is to run for and hope that he wins election for president of the United States. Something that none of us could just do.
Right.
That's his solution to possibly staying out of prison. And I think that is a historically funny just gambit.
Yeah. Yeah. Just...
You know this thing that statistically nobody does? You know, being the president?
Mm-hmm.
That's my out.
Yeah. And I'm sure he believes he has an excellent chance to do it, too.
Oh, he does. And that's the sad part.
It's really sad.
We don't need to really go down that road, but I just think that is one of the funniest political things to have ever happened was, oh, shit, I might go to prison. I have to win the presidency.
Oh my God. I've never.
Not just like I have to get this job or I have to make this legal maneuver. I have to win the presidency. That is a shrewd gambit.
Mm-hmm. That is like what the kids say, DeLulu. Mm-mm. God, I can't even imagine the ego.
I know. There is something about it that is just. It's our reality is a farce.
Yeah.
Because that is the plot of, like, a wackadoodle-ass comedy.
Yeah, it would be a lot funnier if it wasn't so goddamn scary.
Uh-huh.
I'd be laughing my ass off right now, right there with you.
I know, and that's the thing is, it's super important, too.
So I wasn't so, like, shit-stirringly scared. I'm like, no. I'll laugh after the election, okay?
Yeah, this guy who openly promotes fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His gamble to get out of prison is to literally turn into a fascist dictator, win an election, and then take over power. It is, again, you make a movie about that as a comedy, and you go, get the fuck out of here. That is insane.
That's some bullshit.
That is our reality, and... It while it is very depressing, it is historically funny.
Oh, God, yeah. Mm. I will grant you that.
Yeah, I mean, why not? What's the worst that's going to happen? Oh, a lot of people will die.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
That's the worst that'll happen. And speaking of a lot of people dying, hey, everybody, welcome to Horror Vomit, where we talk about horror movies so that you don't have to. My name is Chris Pfaff, and I'm one of your hosts.
And I am James Marino, and I'm the other one of your hosts.
Sorry, I got very distracted. You were lighting more matches after I gave you my lighter and said, don't lose my lighter.
Well, fucking lost your lighter. Shut up.
So.
Oh, it's right here. It's in one of the folds.
After our... After our Peter Cushing trilogy, we're jumping back on the old bandwagon for part two of another trilogy, the Ardennes trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is film number two in that aforementioned trilogy, Alleluia, from 2014, written by Vincent Tavier, Romain Protet, and written and directed by Fabrice Duwels. Starring Lola Dueñas as Gloria and Laurent Lucas as Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
So before we get started, one note, this is based on true events, sort of, mm-hmm. but it is the kind of based on true events that I think both of us are much more okay with, as yeah. all of the names and location and time period have been changed. It is just a used as a loose adaptation
yeah,
of
a
story.
Template, as it were.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this movie helped me.
Yeah, so, oh. so hey, James.
Yeah.
How'd you like Alleluia?
Well, let me give you one of my patented simple answers. I was had a tough time watching this movie just because I kept falling asleep. And not from a bad, I'm just fucking tired. But this movie didn't grab me like the other movie grabbed me. Like fucking I was in. And it was the same template as far as same kind of color palette. Beautifully shot everything. I had to go back in and... What saved this movie, and this happens a lot, too, because I have to watch movies disjointedly sometimes, is the last 10 goddamn minutes of this movie. Because I'd made a comment to my wife. I was like, you know, honey, this one, albeit violent, was not as, you know, up until this point, it was not as horrific as the other ones in the extreme, you know, category.
Because
up until...
Yeah, this is the... director of Calvaire.
Yeah.
The movie that we did previously with the rape scene.
Mm-hmm. And there was this movie didn't have that type of surrealism.
No, it
had an entirely different tone.
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off, it didn't have quite as much as the, I guess, shock for shock's sake.
Yeah.
All of it was just very shocking.
Mm-hmm. And so, long story short is, I was okay with this movie as a character study, and you know, at the point, I wish there was more story, and I knew, you know, I knew what it was based on. So, oh, yeah, that's that. Oh, okay, that's kind of that. Oh, I see where this might be going, you know, and I was enjoying it in that manner. Again, the last 10 minutes just pulled it all together beautifully. So, the bottom line is, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yep, I really, really like this filmmaker. The more I had thought about Calvaire, even after we recorded it, the more I really, really liked it. And, you know, certain elements of it just being very, very good. And this movie was no different. I think I like this better than Calvaire because it doesn't have those moments that seem over the top for the sake of being over the top.
Except for...
Yeah,
the break-in song in the middle of the movie.
Oh, no.
That just threw me the fuck.
No,
I was like,
I mean like the, you know, like pig fucking.
No,
example.
No, I totally understand that. As far as the surrealistic part, though.
Yeah, and that is, we'll get to that. But the cinematic knowledge that this guy seems to have of just, well, no, this is how you would do this. And like, oh yeah, you're right. That is mm-hmm. how you would do that. And the way that he mixes realism with also, it's still a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a film. So I really appreciate these two movies of this guy's that I've seen
mm-hmm.
because they're very, on the surface, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we talk about active viewing. When you really start to think about a lot of these films, or a lot of both of his films that we've watched anyway... They're pretty complex, and they're very challenging
films. Well, take a look at the lead woman. I forgot her name in the movie, too.
Gloria.
The portrayal of Gloria. I was wrestling with, is she a victim or not? Is she a victim or not? Mm-mm.
No.
Not at fucking all. But I love the fact that they had me wrestle with this. Throughout the entirety of the film, up until, because even later, you wonder if it was like, you know, what was that, what did they call that, with Patty Hearst, you know, where they had the Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I thought maybe Stockholm Syndrome, because I'm still like, oh, God, no.
No.
And then, because I had to rewind it, at almost every point, once she... started staring at him like, oh, with that weird little smile and those eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment, you can watch more animalistic. And at no point did you not believe that she was not capable of what she was doing. mm-hmm. physically, emotionally, mentally. I was like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
The strength and the animalistic qualities, like, of that person. It's just like a beast happened to walk on two legs.
And that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this film in particular, is that it gives you those moments and then erases that thought from your mind immediately with the things that they end up doing in this film. When you look at it and go, oh, nope. I feel absolutely no sympathy, no feelings of regret or, you know,
mm-hmm.
for anything that happens to these people, because they are terrible people.
Absolutely.
But then also, I mean, they are still human beings.
Mm-hmm.
They show their emotions. And as much as you can reject that and go, fuck you, I don't care.
Right.
They are still human beings. And he's not afraid to show that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's really bold, because it's not quite the making hero, you know, like an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
And at no point was I rooting for anyone but the girl.
Yeah.
The girl to run away.
Uh-huh.
I was rooting for no one, but traditionally, a movie will set it up so that you have some sympathy for the antagonist. You have some, and yes, there were human qualities about them, and they were absolutely fully drawn characters, which we don't often get with these movies, but at no point were you sympathetic towards them.
No.
You never felt you wanted one to win over the other. No, they're both fucking terrible, and you just wondered which one's going to die first and how.
No, and that's what I think is so brilliant about giving them these glimpses of humanity, because it takes away all of that thought of, oh, these are human monsters. No, this is what people do to each other.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was...
in my mind, it doesn't reinforce the sympathy. It gives them unsympathetic humanity.
Right. But you're right. It makes these characters real. But unsympathetic. You still, as far as, I don't want to say care for them, but you still, you feel their humanity.
Exactly. You understand that, oh yeah, they're, I guess madly in love. And you can see both of their frustrations with each other even throughout mm-hmm. this entire film.
And they're both scared shitless of each other.
Uh-huh.
Because they both know what each other's capable of. At least he knows what the fuck she's capable of.
Exactly.
And most movies, well, you know, he's bigger, stronger, whatever. No. She's going to fuck you up.
Uh-uh. And I really find their relationship interesting.
It was fraught, homie.
Well, generally speaking, in a film like this, you would have the man being, you know, oh, well, he seduces these women and blah, 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 blah. And the woman would be there just kind of as a set piece.
Right.
There's no
Here, let
clear...
me go get your gun.
Exactly.
Cheater.
There's no clear, like, mastermind of any of this. It's this guy just trying to set up grifts and her losing her fucking mind and murdering these women before mm-hmm. they can complete the grift.
Oh, it's beautiful. And, you know, they kind of set it up before each grift, he would wrap a holy card and do a weird prayer or whatever. And it set something because I knew that it was kind of based on the Spree Killers, right?
Yeah, the Lonely
Hearts Killers.
Yeah, the Lonely Hearts Killers, yes.
No, it was loosely based on them, but I didn't know it could have gone supernatural, because even in the other movie that we watched, supernatural was hinted at.
Yeah.
You know, but it was never, nothing was ever said about anything, you know? It just fucked up people doing fucked up shit. But they hinted at other things more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one, it kind of threw you a little red herring. Because he did it more than once. So you thought, is it supernatural? Or is it just he's psycho candy? We don't know.
Until the scene where he's doing it and she walks up to him. Mm-hmm. Goes, are you a sorcerer? And says, yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Yeah. And in the scheme of things, when you, like I said, I stopped thinking about it after a while because they stopped doing it. And there was just so much other shit going on. But as I re-look at it, I just feel that it was a beautiful setup to have you think about other things, because this movie is evocative. You know, it pulls thoughts, it pulls, you know, all different emotions out of you, and kind of obliquely. It doesn't say, you better feel this. We got the musical Sting, you know, it's going to be scary. No. Uh-huh.
We don't get a dark backstory about how they became this. Nope. Not at all.
We get a little bit of his backstory, but it was like a natural conversation. It wasn't like an info dump. It wasn't like a exposition, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was beautifully done, and I think the translation was nice.
And I really like, again, yeah. It's not made in the same way as a Hollywood film, because the closest thing that you could relate to, I guess, like a Hollywood film would be, I guess, a Natural Born Killers.
I was going to say Natural Born Killers, yeah.
But this is nowhere near. I think this is a million times better, personally. But there's that way of telling the story where, again, we don't get a whole lot of backstory. It almost feels like we see scenes that we don't need to see rather than giving us like a complete story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also what I liked about Calvair is just, no, here's what's going on.
Right.
And we don't need to lay it out for you on a silver platter. Like you were saying, it doesn't bop you over the head. It's here's what's going on.
And now, and again, much like all the movies I've been enjoying since I've been doing this, it allows me to make my own decisions. It allows me to make my own judgments and feelings and all of these other things. It's not really telling me what to feel.
Nope.
And I love that. I love a movie that allows you that. The use of music in the background is minimal at best. I mean, no stings, no. Because I've been really, really cognizant of that lately. Because I've been really fascinated by how music works in movies and how much of it, you know, can you make a shitty movie good with music? Yes, you actually can.
Yeah, because you can manufacture emotions.
Yeah. That way. And so I've been really interested in which directors lean into it and which directors completely get the fuck out of it. Or they use sound differently. So instead of using music, they'll use actual background noises to make that same fear or that same kind of emotive thing. It's really neat. But yeah, this one had very little of it.
Exactly. And it does. It sounds and it looks sparse.
Because
it doesn't look like you're, you know, Lord of the Rings. It's not this big spectacle. It's kind of grainy in some places.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of shitty. And I don't mean shitty as in like this. It was poorly made. No, it was intentional.
Yeah, it was supposed to look
dirty and grimy.
And it made it look like you were there at the actual place. It looks like I was sitting in a couch watching these crazy motherfuckers talk.
Exactly. That's what I love about this, too, is there's barely any, like, big wide shots.
Mm-mm. And not a lot of pans, not a lot of jarring movement, not at all.
There's a lot of, like, medium shots, too. Mm-hmm. You barely ever see anybody full-bodied or from a distance. It's very up close. It's very personal. It's very in your face. And what that does, at least for me, is when I'm constantly seeing, like, one maybe in one and a half faces on screen, you're listening to what that person is saying more intently.
And this is what I love about the fact that it wasn't dubbed. I've grown to loathe and detest dubbed movies. The only ones I'll allow are the old Shaw Brothers one because it doesn't sound right without the disjointed dialogue. But I can't watch movies much anymore if it's dubbed in, because I'm learning to detect the emotions through other languages just by how they're, pitch, tone, all that kind of stuff. And it was beautiful. This movie had an amazing rhythm, too. I mean, both in vocal, the way they spoke, but the way it was balanced scene to scene, front to back, the one that weird centerpiece where she was singing.
Dude, I love it, because that is, to me, I think that's really good directorial instincts to go, you know what? It is getting really real.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure that, you know, we do remind our audience this is still a film. And it reminds me of, like, not exactly like David Lynch, because he's much more surreal, but just remembering that you're still making a film. Mm-hmm. You can do this. You're not making a documentary.
Well, and it was right because, okay, not a lot of action in this film.
No.
But the two scenes of violence in this film were absolutely ridiculous. I don't think...
Three,
sorry.
Because they're brutal as shit.
of the two that stick out in my mind, obviously, the one is, well, I got to preface this by saying, I something was bothering me about the way Gloria talked at the beginning, because I'm listening to her, and I'm reading, so I'm not paying attention. But the guy, when they mentioned that she had a Spanish accent, then I'm like, oh, got it. And then I could rewatch the movie because it was fucking with me so bad. But the point of that was... Fuck me, Ronan. Getting back to the...
Are you okay?
Yes, I had a really good big thought and then I lost it halfway. So I'm going to stop it at that. I couldn't watch the movie for
the
a while.
The scenes of violence. You were talking about the violence.
But then... when she killed somebody with a slipper.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And she's Spanish.
Beating an elderly woman to death with a shoe.
And as a Hispanic man who's feared shoes from Hispanic women my entire life, I was like, the minute she picked up that shoe, because then in my head, she's got a Spanish accent, and then she picked up the shoe, and I'm like, oh, fuck. And then it wasn't like you'd think a scene where it's just... bam, 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 bam. No, it was like that one with the hammer in the other movie. Just methodical. Smack. Methodical. Just smack. Just pause. Smack. And you could hear the crunch. You could hear the softness. You could hear the melon sound. I'm like, oh, God.
And that combined with the lighting in that scene is perfect. It's so fucking violent without being on screen watching a woman get her head caved in. It's the implication of violence where I know what's happening in the darkness and I don't want to see it, but I kind of do because my brain's making it worse than it probably is.
And because the way the lighting was, there were parts where you could see it and then you couldn't. You could see it and then you couldn't. It was beautifully moved because of the movement, and it was just that one little piece of light. It was amazing. But the one, I think it was the most disturbing depiction of violence that I have seen yet. And I have now watched a metric shit
I don't know, man. When evil lurks, that axe scene is pretty fucking hardcore.
Yes, but this one...
is also...
when it popped into her arm... and she was trying to pull it out, and you could hear the bone fucking grind.
Yep.
And then when it came out, it bled like you thought it would. And then when the axe came down, it broke, went right down through the clavicle. And the aspiration was right. And when I thought she was gone, and then she pulled the motherfucking axe out. And you heard the sound, and then the gout of blood, which was a realistic looking, and then you saw her aspirate. And that spout of blood came out, and I'm like, because that's the kind of shit they told you about in the service.
Because you get maybe two good spurts of blood out of that neck, then it starts to decrease a little. And you get about maybe six or seven spurts total, each dwindling in size as the pressure that her heart is producing diminishes.
Some sick motherfucker. Did their research.
And it's very good. Like, I don't mean to praise violence in film, especially when it is this realistic, but holy shit, James, it looks good.
Let's put it this way. As a depiction of violence as art, metal is fuck. As a visual to watch without being prepared for it, I'm sure you could have heard me in the house.
Yes.
I was gobsmacked. I jumped. I was yelling. I'm like, fuck me running. No.
Because here's the thing is I kind of didn't expect it.
No, because up until that point.
He had shown no signs of being a murderer.
Right.
All right, so before we really get into this, I kind of want to go through this because I'm sure not a lot of people have seen this, and I do want anyone listening to track this down. It's free on Tubi at the moment, so go watch this. But just starting at the beginning, it starts out so fucking brilliantly because just the broad strokes Gloria meets Michelle, and they go out, have a nice dinner. He tells her all about shoes. He seems charming. They fuck. He disappears. She tracks him down, finds out that he preys on women.
Oh, no. Remember, he also got some money from her.
Yeah. He did get, he got a handful of money from her. So he disappears. She tracks him down. Finds out that's what he does, is fleeces women out of money. And she wants in. So immediately you are feeling sympathetic because she got fucked and dumped. And gave this dude a bunch of money. Well, sure, not the smartest thing to do, but you can tell she's a very lonely single mother.
And a very passionate woman.
Yes. So, you know, your heart kind of goes out to her. And then you find out that, oh, she wants in. That's weird. The very next scene after that, she is giving her child away.
Yep.
Immediately erasing all sympathies.
Yep.
So it smash cuts, and this is what I think is brilliant about this too, which is very un-Hollywood-y. It doesn't give you the interstitials.
Right.
It's, nope, here's this woman.
And I love...
This is the grift.
And I love how they stop the acts with the name.
Yep.
The area that they were in, that pan, boom, Marguerite.
Marguerite.
Yep.
And so Marguerite is an older woman who clearly is not going to be having any more children. She and Michelle get married. He convinces her that he needs the shop next door because they can't have children, but this is something that they can grow together, a life together. They move Gloria in under the ruse that that's his sister. And that's what I think is really, really smart. Excuse me for a second.
It's all right. Yeah, it was really cool.
It's just the interstitials of Gloria and Marguerite. Because on the surface, it's kind of boring. But when you watch the performance that Gloria gives, it's so fucking full of hatred.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's so good.
We talk about reaction shots a lot. But Gloria's reaction shots, she has like two of her main ones, but she can emote differently through those same faces. Like when she's completely agape and in love with, you know, Michelle, right? And got that wide-eyed kind of goofy smile. She makes different emotions with that exact same face. Because then sometimes we can see hatred through that face. We can see absolute adoration and annoyance. Showing through that kind of rictus smile and that complete wide-eyed look. And even when she's sad, she can look sad and, you know, sad and lethal. And it, so showing several emotions through very, very basic faces and the range. That crying on command, that one shot where she's just standing there. And then she starts crying. I'm like, fuck me running.
She's really good.
Everybody in this movie was amazing. Their acting was outstanding.
So she catches Marguerite going down on Michelle and strangles the living shit out of her.
And this is interesting, too, because Michelle doesn't do a fucking thing.
No, he is excited.
And a little scared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she is psycho candy.
Yes.
I forgot about the strangulation and the, again, the way that was filmed, the struggles, the stopping, the length of time that it took.
Watching basically her death rattle with the shoes scuffing on the floor.
Which the shoes scuffing that kind of pushes you to the next one. Because they pan on the shoes. Shoes become important later. I didn't realize that till just right the fuck now. God damn, this movie is
good,
buddy.
He's a really good filmmaker, James. So they go upstairs and they have a conversation, Michelle and Gloria. And she's telling him, you know, I love you so much. I couldn't stand to see you with anyone else. No one will ever love you. You know, shit along that lines.
I forgot about the scene.
To which Michelle gets up and leaves, and she walks into the kitchen where Marguerite's body is just laying naked on the table. And then she sings. She sings the conversation that they just had.
And then?
and then takes a hacksaw to this woman's foot. And again, whoever is doing their fucking effects deserves every award known to man, because it is gruesome and excellently done.
I did not know it was possible. I've seen amputations in movies before, and you can always see the, you know, the cut. You can always see the this, or you can tell it's CGI. At no point did the camera move.
No. There was not a single cut.
Except for the saw through the fucking leg, and it looked exactly like you would imagine. Not that I have imagined, but you know what I'm saying. When I saw that, I'm like, yep, that's what it looks like.
It looks like they are sawing a woman's leg off. Like, it, we say that a lot. There is a lot of realistic violence in a lot of the movies that we have seen. And this is second to none as far as being realistic, disturbing, disgusting violence.
And yet you couldn't look away.
No, it's really good.
And traditionally for me, if I know it's going to happen, I'm not going to look at that. I could not look at that. I couldn't take my eyes off this goddamn train wreck. I was like, fuck me running. And it was so disturbing, I put it out of my mind, which is why I only mentioned the chancla killing and the axe at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I had put that out of my mind because it had disturbed me so deeply.
So
I'm so glad they filmed it, though.
Yeah. And next, again, as I was saying before, there's no... Oh, they meet Gabriella, they get in with her somehow? No.
Mm-mm.
Smash cut to they're speaking with her and a priest. And she is a wealthy elderly woman.
Yes, a patron, a patroness.
And they have concocted this ruse that they were missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And that the village they were in is currently being re-raided by rebels. And they need her help financially.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of ducking them.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like this grift isn't going to work out.
Well, also because the priest is already sitting there. And he's like, you better fuck out of here. That's my grift, motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's like, you're kicking in my style, homie. We didn't know.
And it's kind of funny that this grift wouldn't have worked out anyway. Mm-hmm. Which I think is very funny, too. Because he's not a mastermind.
And
These aren't thorough criminals. These are just kind of dipshit people.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially like the way they dispose of the body after hacking it. They're carrying it in buckets all the way down the house, down a giant path, and then just fucking tossing it in the stream. Nobody's gonna find this shit. Nobody's gonna find floating body parts downstream.
I love, though, that when he really tries to seduce her, she kind of tells him, like, we can't do this. You know, eventually gives in because she's a lonely old woman and he's Laurent Lucas.
Yeah, he's going to be tossing some dick, lady. I mean, come on.
Yeah. And again, Gloria sees it and loses her fucking mind and beats her to death with the aforementioned shoe, which, again, the lighting on that is absolutely perfect because she's beating Gabriella in the foreground, kind of in the dark, and Laurent Lucas is illuminated in the background.
Yeah, he was sitting at a kitchen chair or something by the window.
Sitting in the corner.
Yeah.
Because he had just been also beaten by Gloria.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry. There's so much goes on and so little goes on in this movie.
Exactly. And I think it's in this sequence, too, that we see her starting to disintegrate. Gloria, anyway. Mm-hmm. Disintegrating as a person. She can't keep it together in the meeting with Gabriella and the priest. She's sitting there laughing her balls off.
Yeah, you couldn't tell. Initially, you thought she was crying. But no, she's hysterically laughing.
Uh-huh, and it's very obvious, no matter how much they try and convince the priest and the old woman that she's crying, everyone knows that that's not the case. And it's very uncomfortable. And again, you see Michelle getting mad because she's fucking the grift.
Mm-hmm. But he's too afraid to tell her, hey, knock it the fuck off, because she's psycho candy.
And there's also a part in that where we see her starting to get petulant, where she starts slapping the bed up and down and throwing a tantrum like a child.
But that was also because there's a grown-ass person, not a little grown-ass person.
No.
So the actual, the movements was A, much faster than any tantrum I've ever seen, and B, went on for longer, and C, was just horrifying to watch.
It's such a good fucking performance, because it really looks like somebody who is not holding it together, even if there wasn't some sort of actual, you know, mental health issue actually at play.
Mm-hmm.
She's having just a breakdown.
Now, in other movies, that could have been portrayed as acute tantrum just by slowing it down. You know what I mean? But nothing cute about this.
No, and it's fast and it's violent and it's terrifying.
It is absolutely. If I was, as a human being, if somebody is that violent around me, it sets me off fucking hard. So I'm watching this and I'm, all my bells are going off because it's just wrong. And the funny thing is that I was initially, like I said, up until the axe scene, I'm like, well, this is, I've forgotten because I'd put all this shit out of my mind. I was like, this is a French extreme. Come on. You know, come on, what are we doing here? But upon reflection, I'm like, fuck me, run it. Not only was it extreme in its depictions of violence, but its emotional extremes, the psychological extremes that it would bring you to, and yet still somehow allow you to do that and maintain in the movie. I think that's probably why they had the singing. That's probably why they brought the child in to get away, because that was bleak as fuck.
Uh-huh. And it's just such a stark image of when they're getting rid of Gabrielle's body, mm-hmm. because Michelle is sitting, again, it's kind of reversed. He is in the foreground,
mm-hmm.
not looking at what's going on. And in the background, Gloria's naked,
mm-hmm.
with the stripped down body, and she's cutting it apart.
Oh,
it's fucking brutal as shit. And again, there's a bit more blood maybe than what would realistically be there, but it's that sense of, yeah, we're still making a movie.
Mm-hmm. And again, I'd never thought of it as being a movie until now we're talking about it, because it was so goddamn compelling.
Uh-huh.
It just drew you in at all points. Even though I was falling asleep, I didn't want to miss anything, so I would rewatch. I would sometimes go 10 minutes behind to make sure that I didn't miss a frame.
See, and before we get into the last section, there is one thing also that I wanted to bring up too, which I think is fucking brilliant about this film. For a movie that is effectively based completely around sex,
mm-hmm.
this is one of the least sexy movies that I've ever seen.
Yep. You are.
There is tons of sex. There is tons of nudity, and none of it is like appealing.
Well, you know why? Because
they're disgusting people.
Well, that too.
And you feel their emotional connection, and it sickens you as the audience.
Right, but also, 90% of the sex in this movie, it was what I would call performative. It is sex driven for a purpose. It's just doing the thing for the thing. Okay, this is how I get my money. That's it. Boom. Cross that off the list. It's more of a transactional, you know, a thing. It's like we're watching commerce in action. It's like, you know, who cares?
Except for after they beat that woman with a shoe and then he develops a real foot fetish.
Mm-hmm.
While she's just cramming toes down his throat, whacking the clam in his face.
Yeah.
Ooh. Again, and there's nothing sexy about it.
No.
Even if you were into foot stuff, it's not sexy.
No.
It's watching these two disgusting human beings have an emotional moment, and it's gross to look at.
Yes, it is. And it's supposed to be.
So, getting into the final sequence. Which, oh man, this is where it all culminates in Solange. Again, we get no setup as to how they met these people.
Mm-hmm.
Solange has a pretty big house,
mm-hmm.
a non-functional Jaguar, and explains that it's all gone. Mm-hmm. After my husband died, it's pretty much all gone. So again, I don't know what their grift is here, but they're getting really far down. I'm like, well, we need something.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do something. So he starts developing a relationship with this child.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where this movie gets sinister as shit. Because you see Gloria start to really, really resent this child.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, she brings up, why didn't you ever play with my child like that?
Uh-huh.
And this is where the humanizing them without being sympathetic comes in.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we were talking about. Because you feel her as a human being missing her child. It's a natural reaction to miss your children.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen them. And she, obviously, she didn't give her child away when it was a baby. She raised her daughter until she was six, seven?
Yeah.
So there is an emotional attachment regardless.
Right. Even though it just kind of dropped her like a hot potato.
Uh-huh. And when you see her start to see Michelle, quote-unquote, developing a relationship with this child,
mm-hmm.
it drives her into an emotional state that you understand, but still you cannot sympathize with this fucking monster that has been butchering women.
Mm-hmm.
It's so goddamn good. And again, it's one of those, if you're not really paying attention, there is, like you said, a lot of just dialogue, a lot of boring, a lot of character and getting into the minds of these fucking weirdos.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it all culminates into, oh, I see what you did. You're trying to, again, humanize without sympathizing.
Yeah.
And it's done perfectly.
I can't really remember a movie that characterized like this.
No, because...
And still maintained that, that I won't say horror, but that complete unease throughout the whole film.
Previous to this, Michelle had promised her that, no, any of these women, I just seduce them, marry them, I won't fuck them. I absolutely won't. Which we all know is bullshit as the audience.
Until he does.
And she is on him the entire time there was Solange, so he starts drugging her.
Yep.
So that he can go fuck her.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're seeing their relationship just fall apart because he's starting to be not okay with these murders, as we saw when he's not taking part in the disposal, really.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's falling apart because he's starting to want to just focus on these grifts and not murdering people.
Well, the important part, of course, you know, the murdering first, money second.
Exactly.
Have your priorities straight, at least.
So it's just very interesting. And then watching Gloria turn oppositional toward this child.
Oh, God.
After the kid finds her notebook that she left out.
Oh, that notebook was disturbing, homie.
Uh-huh.
Disturbing as fuck.
And it's always fun to remember that, oh, yeah, somebody did that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who got paid to make that photo and really get in the head of what that character would draw.
Yep. And it looks like, you know, I've seen like artwork from, you know, psychopaths, artwork from, you know, different types of mental illness. And that just, somebody did their homework.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody did their homework hard.
So they're in the midst of this grift and Gloria's out in, was it a barn?
I couldn't tell. It's weird French outdoor buildings.
Yeah, shed area, we'll say. Yeah. And Solange tells Gloria, I'm pregnant. And she kind of laughs and goes, yeah, it must be someone else's.
Yeah.
She, no, it's your brother's. Because again,
unless you're carrying the Messiah's child.
The Messiah, yeah.
It was your brother. Just saying.
So Gloria locks her in this shed area, goes in to assault Michelle.
Oh, wait. They forgot to mention that really sets her off. I've already aborted.
Oh, she wants to abort the child.
No, I thought she said, it's too late. I've already done it.
Oh, she might have. I don't remember exactly.
Because that's when Gloria, like, oh, you killed Michelle's baby?
Yes.
You killed Michelle's baby. And first she's like, oh, you're pregnant with Michelle's kid? No, you killed his fucking baby. There's no, this woman's wrong. R-O-N-G wrong. There's nothing she could say to get out of the fact she's going to get fucking murked.
So she's locked in this shed. Gloria runs in to yell at Michelle,
mm-hmm.
and sees the little girl.
Yep.
And,
God.
Yeah, it's a very tense moment where she's about to kill this child.
Yep. Got hands on her and everything.
Until Michelle stops it.
Mm-hmm.
They end up in this barn with Solange and and that's when Gloria hands him the axe. And that's why I kind of wanted to go through this, because I do want to talk about this scene because it's so fucked up.
Oh, yeah. Brutal.
She is screaming at him, "You can fuck her, kill her, kill her, kill her."
The whole time the kid's screaming in the other room, screaming.
Yeah.
So kid's screaming, disturbing. And then what's happening and what's about to happen, fucking disturbing.
You see her looking, Solange, looking at him and saying, "Michelle, please, no." And once again, I kind of didn't think it was going to happen. I thought she would snatch the axe from him and then, you know, it would give them time for there to be a struggle and then yada, 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 dramatic climax.
More of an action scene?
Yeah, no. Michelle just swings it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the grossest defensive wounds that you already described takes place.
Well, and what really interests me about this scene is the idea of, like, we see axe murderers all the time in our profession here. And we're kind of axe murder connoisseurs.
Exactly.
But traditionally, every axe scene we've ever seen was somebody with intent and just fucking nowhere to hit. Wham, ha-ha, for the most effective thing. No. He was like, "Okay, I guess I'll do it," and just kind of half-ass swings it. And she pops her arm up, and it goes right through the ulna in the radius. Just right through, and it just chinks into that bone, that big, hard bone. And it jams, and you can hear it grind and pull. And you can see the arm pulling. And, the articulation.
Hear, because this isn't obviously a fatal wound. It's not just stab, 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 stab a corpse.
Mm-hmm.
She's still conscious and just has a gaping axe wound in her arm. And hearing someone scream like that when they know it's realistically done and they are about to be murdered.
On top, coupled with the child in the next room, they fucking should give that kid the Palm d'Or or something, because the screaming changed with the violence. The more the mom screamed, the louder the child screamed. And the thought of a child and mother screaming because the mother's being axed to fucking death, even without the visuals, even if they never showed it, is the idea is so viscerally disturbing that it was hard to even stay in there. But again, they pulled it back with the visuals, the gruesome visuals. Oh my God.
Because as you mentioned before, the second shot buries right into her
clavicle.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm feeling that.
Hard. And then the slide down the wall.
Which we've seen in 100 movies, but this looked real.
Yeah, it looks like a dying body going through shock.
It's like, and as the blood's spouting, the body's falling because the hydrostatic pressure is getting lower. The body can't stand up, and it's dropping like they must have had MD on set. Drop, 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 ragdoll. Because it was how you know, if you've read examples of that happening, that's what it sounds and looks like.
Mm-hmm.
The gurgles, the inability to breathe because it popped through the lungs, the aspiration of the blood. Oh.
And it sort of the ending anyway is them Gloria dragging this body through the grass.
Oh.
And the sound design on this perfect because it's raining like a son of a bitch. And that's about all you can hear is rainfall and this little girl screaming as she looks over, sees the man who was about to be effectively her father.
Right.
Covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Looks over and sees the woman that she hates, whose notebook she found, and knows that this woman doesn't like her. And again, this is a child.
Dragging the corpse of her mother. To a well.
Yes.
With that fucking look on our goddamn face.
And once again, the only sound design is just falling rain and very faint screams and sounds.
As it would be muffled by the rain.
Again, the filmmaking in this, it's so up close and personal all of the time. It's so intrusive.
You're right, because this is the one wide angle shot where they pull back. You can see him. You can see the kid in the background and her towards the well. It's one of the few wide angle shots.
Uh-huh.
And again, it's the end of the movie where you can see everybody's reaction. this psycho motherfucker who just killed her mom telling the kid to run.
As you see the woman who you hate dragging your mother's corpse across a yard to dump in a well, dropping her body and sprinting toward you.
Yeah, just all of a sudden it's like you became known. It's just like you alerted a tiger to your fucking presence. Mm-hmm. And that was exactly what it was like. It was like a tiger on a kill. Oh, wait, they're still, okay. Boom, she fucking cooks it too. The physicality on these actors, the commitment it took, because to run full force in the rain, there are 10 million things that could go wrong. That's not a safe thing to do. There was nothing safe about that shot.
No.
And kind of fucked the director for that, but it was a beautiful shot, and I'm glad I got to see it. I mean, I'll be honest. But fuck him for putting somebody in danger. But that was, again, a choice that everybody made. That's just not something I would do. But, yeah, it was beautifully shot because it was like an animal, just boom, cooking it, too. And when it had the hands around the kid's neck and shaking, ragdolling that kid.
Whoa.
And the thing is, I don't know how they filmed it because it looked like that kid and didn't look like CGI. Granted, it was frenetic and it was moving and the lights were all over and it was raining and whatever. But I swear, you know, just visually and from memory, I swear it was that kid that was being fucking ragdolled like that. Now, I think that maybe the movement wasn't as much on the actual child actor and it was probably all camera.
Yes.
But it was so goddamn effective.
Exactly. And that's what I really, really like this filmmaker because, like we've laid out, again, on the surface level, it's these two people murdering old women for their money, and they end up killing them before they get their money every time. Simple plot. Mm-hmm. There's not even really story in this film, if we're being perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are just fucking slop hogs for story.
Oh, hell
yeah. We get all up in it. Not so much lore, but you give me a solid story, and I can't look away.
You give me story and lore?
Hounds of the Baskervilles is a fucking story.
Hells yeah.
This isn't a story.
No, but it doesn't
need These are events, it's shown so viscerally and raw that, god damn, does he have a way of just cutting right to the core of things.
I would say out of the French Extreme filmmakers that I've seen now, he is absolutely my favorite.
And from what I've read, he also kind of just rejects that term.
I
don't make things extreme because I want to gross people out. Like, I was reading one interview with him where he's like, no, I'm not really interested in Marvel movies because they're not challenging.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to a film and not know exactly how I'm supposed to feel about it.
Mm-hmm. And I use that only because that's the term I know. I think I like it because it's different from all of them, and it's probably different because he doesn't believe he's a French extremist, you know? Or not an extremist, but a French extreme filmmaker. Those are two entirely different things.
Exactly.
But I think that what really adds to what he's doing is, like, he puts touches that don't need to be there yet somehow are beautiful for the movie. Like, and the other one, the very, very surreal touches they had in it. You know, the weird, you know, just like the weird things happening and how they happen.
Their strange wedding.
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But it's just a little touch. It's just enough to, like you said, remind us that we're watching a piece of art. Remind us that we're watching a movie. But still keeping us in the reality of what they're dictating in this movie.
Exactly.
And it keeps it grounded in reality enough so that we can be scared by it. But it is unreal enough that we can continue to watch it. And that's... Okay, I was trying to figure out what my end was. It was unreal enough that we can continue to watch it, but real enough that it fucking horrifies me.
Exactly. That is a very hard line to walk, and you have to be very careful. And I think with what he chooses to show and what he doesn't is what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, his rhythms, the vocal rhythms, the weight he puts in scenes, the balance that the symmetry that this movie has, it's a weird thing to explain. One day I wish I could be smart enough to chart out what I mean. But this movie balances beautifully. It just, everything hangs, everything's there for a reason that matches other things. Whether you need it to or not, there are ties throughout this whole movie that you can, this is a rewatchable, this is something I can go over and over again and get something different characterization. Oh, that's the point where she snaps. Oh, she'd always, you know, the intent was always there or whatever, because you can still glean so much out of this movie.
it's, again, it's peeling back that onion of just, oh, this layer of this that I didn't notice before. This layer that I didn't notice. Because, again, I watched this right after we did Calvaire.
Oh, yeah.
And went, holy shit. Because I was telling you about it. It's like, yeah, we might want to take a break on this guy for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, these are upsetting films.
Had I done them back to back, I can watch another one like that for years.
No, they're upsetting films. Mm-hmm. But they're, again, filmed in such a way where it takes a little bit of that edge off because it is done artistically. Mm-hmm. It's done with such care. Again, just the violence, the cutting off the foot, it's done with such care.
Yeah.
That it's undeniably good.
Because I, right now, to me, that's a benchmark. Absolute benchmark for that type of film or that type of scene. If you're not going to match that, don't do something different.
Uh-huh.
Because that's it. You know, I may not be able to be better, but I could goddamn well try to do something that amazing.
Yeah, this is just this filmmaker. There are a couple others of his movies that I'm trying to track down and find just because, again, this is his series of horror films. Hell, he's, yeah, made other movies.
No, I'm going to do a dive into this motherfucker.
He has a film on Netflix that I'm actually considering re-getting my Netflix subscription to watch. It's a Message from the King. Okay. Or A Message for the King. Well, one of the two. I forget the exact name of it.
You can come over to my house and watch it.
But, there's one more left in this Ardennes trilogy, and that is Adoration, which, from everything that I've heard, I have not watched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I have briefly read, it is quite something.
Well, to be honest, both movies were quite something.
Yes.
So if they're basing that quite something off his other movies, it's going to be out there.
Yeah, because, again, the way that he mixes absolute brutality,
mm-hmm,
in over-the-top cinematic brutality,
mm-hmm,
with real grounded, and I don't want to say boring parts, but parts that you really need to pay attention to if you're going to get these films,
mm-hmm,
in any sort of manner. Because this is not a kind of casually watch whatsoever. And that's what I really appreciate filmmakers that go, no, watch my movie. Because I'm going to show you some shit. You watching this?
Yeah, hey, check it out. I knew you could watch everybody else, but there's a reason you watch my movie.
Uh-huh.
So pay attention. Man, it's going
to
happen.
I'm really looking forward to more of this guy.
Yeah, I am too. I think, this is not a back-to-back. You couldn't have done the whole Ardennes trilogy back-to-back.
Nope. I would not lose interest, but just, that's enough.
Yeah,
I need to go, like, watch a dog play or something.
I appreciate being challenged occasionally, but I need a break.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really is one of those movies that you get done, you're like, man, I'm going to go watch some videos of like red pandas or something cute and fun.
Oh God. I'll rewatch Captain Underpants with the kids, you know, just
what a show.
Whew.
James, yes. Any, final thoughts and would you recommend Alleluia?
I recommend the fuck out of this movie.
God damn, it's good. You know what, too? I did a cursory look. I couldn't find any other horror podcasts covering this film.
Oh, hells yeah. It might get us on the algorithm.
Yeah, sure.
Well, no, because every once in a while, like after we've done a podcast, I will listen to a podcast about the same film to see if we, you know, if we're doing similar or different, just because I, you know, I'm that fucking guy. But it'll come up, like if I type in, I don't know, Blood Rain or whatever.
Blood Rain's where you landed?
I don't know why the fuck I landed it. But I've typed in a Repo Genetic Opera is what I was trying to think of. Because I wanted to see, because that was a fucking apeshit movie. But like there were 10 podcasts that showed up. Any of the random ones I've picked, always one or two come up.
Funny that you mentioned Repo, because that was that Derek Lynn Bozeman?
Yeah, I think so.
Or Darren Lynn Bozeman?
Yeah, I think so.
He also made a film called Alleluia.
And that's why I was thinking about it, because I started 5 minutes of that fucking movie. I'm like, get the fuck out of here, Chris. What are you making me watch? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Nope, that ain't it.
No. But I think that's why I made that weird connection. Uh-huh. Anyway, are you going to soon ask me where they can find us, or what are we doing here?
I don't know, man. I got lost.
It's okay. I just thought I'd rein you back in.
We were going for a little stroll there. I figured I'd see where this old yellow brick road took us.
Yeah, I saw a brick wall coming up, so I figured I'd
straight to the land of bullshit.
I figured I'd just reel this back a little bit.
Hey, James, where can people find us?
They can find us at horrorvomitpodcast@gmail.com. They can find us at Facebook. We got that little Facebook page. We're on all where all the podcasts can be caught.
And yeah, if you send us a message or interact with us, we'll probably talk to you.
Oh no, I will, because I'm fucking bored.
Yeah, I probably won't. I mean, if I see it, I will. But the chances of me seeing some shit like that are slim to nil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't social media. Ooh. Even though we really should, that's kind of how you do things.
Well, look, I do the Facebook thing because I'm an old man. I'm still wrapping my brain around the Instagram. But if you get on the old Facebook and say something, I'll say something back.
So in about 10 years' time, we'll be TikToking it up.
Hell yeah.
By the time it doesn't exist anymore.
We'll be doing horror vomit TikTok dances.
No, we will not.
I'll be doing horror vomit TikTok dancing.
James, you can barely move as is. How do you plan on dancing in 10 years?
I have great faith in prosthetics and Android technology, you know.
Well, because by then we'll have made enough money, and of course medical science will have advanced far enough where I will be a legitimate cyborg centaur.
Either that or I will have a clone made and just, you know, put my intelligence right into it.
Cyborg centaur with dancing feet.
Hell yeah.
Gonna get me some sweet platform shoes with goldfish in them.
I could tap dance in polyrhythms. Oh, hell yeah.
This is stupid. Should we be done?
I could play bass while I'm tap dancing.
No, absolutely not. You are going to get keytar if that is the case.
Oh, fuck to the yeah.
Cyborg, centaur, John Tesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amalgamation. Can we be done, James? This is going nowhere.
Push the button.
God damn it. We have pooped the bed yet again. Just absolutely.
Just push the button. This was an attack.